Our Lord, we are grateful. So grateful that you, the shepherd, came and gave your life for the sheep, that we might be part of your flock. And what joy we have as your sheep and bleating and singing, dancing around to give praise to you this morning for your rescue and for your sacrifice and for the joy of being well cared for by you. And yet, Lord, at the same time, Lord, you've given us this longing as we share with your heart that others might join your fold. And so, Lord, this morning, would you speak to us as we hear from you and from your Spirit, from these ancient words that we call the Bible. And Lord, would you just warm our hearts, Lord, for others that they may know you too. And Lord, we thank you for the joy we've had of fellowship today, of being together to worship and to enjoy a meal together and to pray and to give and to think about you especially. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's amazing what we'll do for security. I heard about an athlete, professional athlete, and he confessed that he lived for the crowd. And so as long as everybody was just applauding, he was happy. If he blew it and they booed, well, it was another day. And then he became a sportscaster, and it was the same thing. As long as everybody was applauding or sending him, you know, emails or whatever, saying they loved him, then he was happy. But if he said something boneheaded and got some bad ones, then he was in trouble. Life, even for athletes, it's like this thermometer life, you know, that we all live. So you get a good review at work, or if people are smiling at you, your customers, or whatever, you know, the kids on the school bus, then you're happy. We're happy. If it's the other way around, you get a bad review, or you get shown the door, or whatever it is, you didn't make that grade that you wish you got, or that ball team, then you're all depressed. And we don't even need to mention Facebook and Instagram and the ups and the downs and the likes and the dislikes, and it's wonderful to have that part of our world now that we're part of. And then it was David, whom we've looked at for the last number of weeks. A David who'd faced a lot of rejection in his life. Didn't it seem like at the very beginning, you know, when he was out watching the sheep and they had Samuel in to anoint a new king, and I mean, how do you think he felt when he was like an afterthought? Like, oh, don't you have another son? That must have been fun. Or then when he finally had some success, and then his best friend's dad, who happened to be king of Israel, is throwing spears at him, you know, when all he's trying to do is provide some nice music for the king. Or then, of course, his own son, Absalom, betrayed him, took part in a coup to take over the throne, and in between, he's got the Philistines chasing him all over town. But somehow David was secure in all of this. I wonder if we went back to 2 Samuel chapter 7, let me just review to you some of the things that God said that he would do for him. And somehow David was able to get back into these promises and remember what God had promised him. The Lord had promised David, given him at least five things that he would do for him. Number one, David said, I'm going to give you a great name. I'm going to give you a place. I'm going to put you in a secure place. You'll be in a place of security. I'll give you rest from your enemies. David, I'm going to give you a dynasty. You, someone from your bloodline will be on the throne of Israel forever and ever. And so he says, your house, your home, will last forever. Those were the same promises that he'd given to Abraham. things that Moses and others talked about in the family line. This was a group of people whom God had chosen, not because they deserved it, but because of His grace to display His glory, and that included security to the entire world. And they messed up, but God continued on through the person of Jesus, and now to us, with those promises. So for us, those promises are true as well. The Lord had promised David and his family a great name. And the name of David's son Jesus is, we call ourselves Christians. We are named after that son. We have a great name of Jesus. That's our name forever and ever. We are given a secure place. Many would look at John 10:10 and say that place of an abundant life is the place that we have with God. And that's because of what God promised to David. He gives us rest from our enemies. Those that come after us. He's made us part of a dynasty. We are part of the reign of God now through Jesus, and through Jesus, His Son, who's made us royal, His royal sons and daughters, and He's given us a permanent house with Him. We say at Valley View, we say that we are never alone. We are always with the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd is with us. So as we look, as we conclude our time of remembering what it means to be after God's own heart, we remember that by the grace of God, not because of us, but because of Him, and as He changes our hearts, causes us to long after Him, that our God becomes, our shepherd becomes our guide for life. He meets our needs. Philip Keller was a shepherd that is well known for writing about shepherding in the Bible, writing about this particular psalm and about what Jesus talked about in John's gospel and other places about being our good shepherd. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." And Philip Keller said, "You know, when David was writing about this, he may well have been thinking about some of the other sheep, the sheep in the other pasture on the other side of the fence. And he thought, you know, sometimes when I look over the fence there, I think, those sheep over there, they're not being well taken care of. Those poor sheep aren't fed very well. Look at their wool. I mean, look. Their wounds aren't being taken care of. They're scrawny. They're not being fed. I wish those sheep were in my pasture. I wish that I could take care of those sheep. I would love to welcome those sheep in." And David said, "You know, when I think of my life, when I think of the life of God's people," he said, "I'm glad for my shepherd. I'm glad that my shepherd meets my needs. I'm glad that he cares for me. When I'm wounded, he takes care of my wounds. He makes sure that I get into good places. He cares for my needs. He feeds me. He takes me to good pasture. My king, my royal shepherd is the one who takes care of me and takes care of God's people. He's always good. He always cares for me. He always meets all of my needs. He gives all that I need. Our needs are met in Him. Our King, our Shepherd King is one that refreshes us and restores us." You see, in those days, a shepherd couldn't bring his sheep into the barn. He couldn't go over to the feed store or wherever shepherds go these days to get some feed. and to bring it out on the tractor to the sheep. He had to bring the sheep to where the food was and where the good pasture was. And in the hot times of the year, when it was hard to get, he had to bring the sheep there and anticipate their needs ahead of time. And as they got to the cool water, as they got to the green grass, they were refreshed and they were restored. And so our Lord refreshes us. He restores our souls. He brings us back to that place of wholeness as He created us to be and to have at the beginning of time what the Old Testament would call shalom, where we are restored to the way that we were created to be at the very beginning of time. And so what He does is He guides us in right pathways. He created us in His image to look like Him. And so what He's doing as He refreshes us, as He restores us, He shows us how to live life. Back when the Ten Commandments were given, He gave them to God's people and said, hey, if you'll just live this way, these are the manufacturer's directions, then things will go well for you. He talked about that also in Psalm 1, that's the way to have a strong and a fruitful life, not because of us, but because of Him and following the instructions that our Lord gave to us. And He says that you become who I made you to be if you'll just follow the directions. And here's the wonderful thing. He says it's for my reputation. He cares about us. He cares that we are restored to the way that we were, and His name is on the line. He cares about us. He wants us to grow in holiness. He wants us to grow in godliness. He wants us to have life as it was meant to be. And He guides us in that way as He refreshes, He restores us, He meets our needs. He guides us in right paths. But of course, life is difficult. And so He protects us along the way. It says in verse 4 that He guides us in dark valleys. You notice in the Pew Bible, it says dark valleys there. Yeah, the darkest valley. Traditionally, the older versions, they say, in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Many of us learned that and said it over and over again. And it does say that, and yet it seems that what's going on there, and that's why the translators rendered this version, the Pew Bibles, in this way. It seems that He's talking about something broader. It includes the valley of the shadow of death, but what He's talking about is dark valleys. So, if a shepherd was guiding his sheep along the way, well, the danger place was a place of darkness. So they got to go through this passageway. It's dark and the wolves are looking and they're ready to get a little bit of lamb chop, and the shepherd is guarding. The shepherd is protecting them. That may be a time for us a time when we've lost a loved one, but when we're hurting in some other way, or a time of pandemic, or a time of war like we're in, or a time of struggling as congregations that we're in, those are the times when we're most vulnerable. But the Lord says, I got you. I got your front. I got your back. He said, I got you with a rod. A rod was like a club. And so if any wolves came by, he'd say, okay, I'll smack them in the teeth. He said, I got you with my staff. He said, I'll poke you, I'll prod you, I'll pull you back up on the path. I'm going to take care of you as we go here on our way to the green pastures and to the cool waters. He says, I'm going to take care of you. Eugene Peterson, who was the translator, the renderer of the Message version of the Bible, a paraphrase, looks at the, he places this, the Psalm 23, he says, he places it back in 2 Samuel chapter 5, which is the place where David ascended to the throne of Israel, the place where they took Jerusalem captive and where Jerusalem became the capital of Israel after being ruled by others who wanted nothing to do with the Lord or with His things. And what he says is that the shepherd's care arises from the very stuff of life. The Lord took The experience of David in the flock, and then he led him through. He anointed him as king, and walking through all of these experiences. And it's these experiences that God uses to make David into the ruler of Israel. You see, what he says is that what he experiences of God, God doesn't just merely change him, but he matures him, and the shepherd of Bethlehem becomes the king of Israel. So think about it. David began as a shepherd boy. He was out in the fields, ignored by his dad and his brothers, and he's called in and he's anointed as the king, the future king of Israel. He probably just a teenage boy. But then he goes back out into the sheepfold. He's just a kid. His brothers are in there. They're in the army then. They're in the army now. They were out there fighting Goliath, and they were running to their tents. And David comes in with a lunch for his big brothers. And the Lord calls him to go out and swing a slingshot and smack Goliath in the head and defeat the Philistines in a major battle for Israel. He goes back to sheep herding, and then he finds himself in the palace making music for King Saul, his best friend's dad, who himself was king of Israel, but having a hard time letting go of it. His best friend's dad starts throwing spears at him. But God takes care of him through that, protects him for that. His best friend's dad finally lets him go out and lets him fight with the Philistines, and the people start dancing in the streets and saying, Saul killed his thousands. This kid has killed his tens of thousands. The Lord takes care of him there. He goes from there to live in the desert for 8 years alone. And then he gathers a guerrilla band of 600 men around him that continue to dart about the countryside until the Lord finally takes Saul's life and David is made the king of Judah, where he rules for 7.5 years, not in Jerusalem yet, but in a place called Hebron. But then, in 2 Samuel chapter 5, he becomes the king of Israel. Peterson says that God lengthened his stride. And that's what our shepherd does. Our shepherd lengthens our strides. Through the very stuff of life, he is with us in life. And all of this stuff that happens to us that we hate. When David was anointed king, you think he'd just say, hey, okay, now let's become king. And the Lord said, no, I got stuff I want you to learn first. But you're not going to go there alone. I'm going to use this to develop you, to make you into the leader that I have called you to be. I'm going to use all of this stuff in my sovereign plan because I'm bigger than this and you're part of my story. I'm not part of yours, but you're part of mine. And we'll use you to further my story, in David's case, forever and ever. As God was shaped in him, he is shaped in us. As God lives within us, as God lived within David, he lives within us. He fills all believers now with his spirit, not just the leaders as he did in that day. He graces us so that we can grace others as we have been graced. Our shepherd is our guide for life and for holiness, for godliness. We're not alone. He wants us to become who he created us to be. And David then paints another picture. He says that he is our forever host. The Pew Bible says in a banquet. He sets a table among our enemies. We look at life and we think, man, I'm getting ready for dinner and look who's at the table. Well, hopefully it's just somebody that you love, but sometimes there's those that show up at the table that you're not so glad are there. They might be in your mind. They might be at work. They might be in the cafeteria at school. Wasn't that a fun place? Some of us are glad those days are done. This might be in the neighborhood. Somebody that moves in next door. It might be in your community. It might be in our church or in our church community. It might be in our world of some environments that come away, sometimes just within are the worst kind. We're unhappy with who's at dinner. But the Lord says, I'm right next to you. He says, you're sitting next to me. He said, I set this table. I know who's here. I got things under control. I got my club in my back pocket. I got my rod right beside me. He said, nobody's gonna hurt you. He says, I'm taking care of you. I have set the table among your enemies. He said, all will be well because I am your forever host. In fact, he says, you're gonna have more than enough to eat here. You're gonna have more than you need. We go to these smorgasbords around here. Imagine being a kid whose parents owned one of those smorgasbords. You go there for breakfast. You go there for dinner. You go there for lunch in between. You go there for a snack. I mean, you would have more than enough. It would not be a problem. You might have a problem maintaining other things around there, but you know what? You would not have a problem having your needs met. And the Lord says, I have given you more than enough. I'm there for you. Everything's there for you. You got more than you need to eat. I'm taking care of all of your needs. He says, I've emptied this storehouse of heaven. I came to this planet. I gave my life for the sheep. I ascended to the Father's right hand. I'm praying for you. My spirit is within you. I've gifted you. I've gifted my family to give you more than enough. And in fact, I've given you goodness. And he said, I've given you love. I've given you mercy. That means that I care for you. I pity for you. I care for your needs. And the psalmist says he's pursuing us with his goodness and his love. He's chasing us around and saying, hey, you need a little more goodness. You need a little more of my love. He's chasing us around. And because we have these little pity parties and we say, oh, I'm so bad. I don't know if I'm going to make it. And the Lord says, you need more of my goodness. You need more of my love. He chases us around until we finally cry uncle and say, okay, Lord, I know you love me. I know that you care for me. And he says, I'm chasing you throughout your entire life until you come and you see me face to face and we hug forever and ever. He said, I want you to know that my goodness and my love, my mercy will pursue you forever, he says. Because I have made you part of my forever home. Wasn't that long that my folks passed away, as you know. But you know, I'm sure the last time I went to their house, I'm sure, you know, I could walk up to their refrigerator or go in their cupboards and take whatever I felt like out of there. And my mom would have said, what else would you like? You know, and I left there a long, long time ago. But it's the same for you if you're from a good home. You know, you go to your mom or your dad's place, or if you still live there, you know, they say, oh yeah, here, you can have this, or you go to grandma's house, you get a mortgage. What else do you want me to go to the store and buy for you? Because in a good home, you're like forever home. You are always at home. And even if you don't have a home like that, you're forever home with Jesus. Our shepherd says, you are always home with me. You are always secure. Romans 8 says that we can't go too high, can't climb high enough to get away from his forever home, from his love. We can't go too low, and we can get pretty low to get away from his love. We can't get too far running this way and get away from his love. We can't get too far running that way. We can't be in too much trouble to get away from his love. He says, you're always home. You're always secure. You see, at the beginning of time, the Lord had this relationship going with us through Adam and Eve. At the beginning of time, it wasn't about setting up a world just for his enjoyment. What he most cared about was a relationship with us. And so they would have these times every day when they'd go out for a walk. And the Lord would meet them in the garden, and they would talk about their days, and they would go back and forth. And the Lord, it says, just enjoyed them as much as they enjoyed him. And so the Lord has turned all of the pages of history to bring us back to himself. And so as we meet with him on our own and as God's people, and the Bible says that he is present with us when we're together in a way that where he displays his presence more when we're together than when we're apart. That happens to come in the context even of talking about conflict, and that he especially likes displaying his presence in times when we're having a hard time getting along. Because he's God and he wants us to get along and to have godly relationships with one another. But you see, it's not about just coming to church or reading our Bibles or spending time with him because we have to. It's because he changes us so that we want to. Because he loves us so much, and when someone loves you like that, it's like, oh man, I love being with you. And he says, that's good. He says, because I love being with you too. It's about a relationship. He's not a doctrine that we talk about, but a person. A person that he leads. I mean, a person that leads us and cares for us. He's an intimate presence that confirms his daily life in us to the very stuff of salvation, so that he makes us more and more like himself and the people that he's called us and created us to be for the glory of his name, but for the ingathering of others to his great family, so there might be more in his flock, and so that as we move on to that day when everything is recreated, so that it's better than it was even at the beginning, that his flock is overflowing with men and women and boys and girls that know him from every tribe, from every nation, from every background, whose lives have been changed and made new so that they live under the reign of our good and benevolent King. You see, living with Jesus means that we move from Jesus being just someone that we know about to someone who is our companion, someone whom we walk with every day, so that we can relax in his care. Jesus said, come to me. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my burden is light. Let's come to him. Let's seek the Lord. Let's walk with our shepherd together. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we thank you for taking care of us. Forgive us, Lord, for looking over the fence at other shepherds who just aren't taking care of your sheep like you do. Lord, we pray for those that are hurting today. May they know your care. And Lord, may we care for one another as you care for us. And yet we go to you first of all. And so, Lord, may we make this closing song our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please stand? We'll sing a prayer based on Psalm 23, asking the Lord to care for us as his sheep. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. More we need thy tender care. In your pleasant pastures feed us, for our you sure folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, early let us turn to thee. Blessed Jesus, early let us turn to thee. You have promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. You have mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, you have loved us still. Blessed Jesus, you have loved us still. Let me make a suggestion. The idea that we've been looking at is being quiet before the Lord, to shut things off, turn off the music, to turn off the podcast, to turn off the whatever, and just be quiet before him. And even to use those quieter hours of the night. Dallas Willard did something I've tried for a while now, and that's to take familiar psalms like a Psalm 23 and to repeat it, even in the middle of the night, to let it roll over in your mind, to roll over while you are maybe driving, if you know it, or to just use those words to draw you closer to the shepherd and the shepherd to you, because he loves you. He loves me. He loves us. And if we are with him, then all is well. In John chapter 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and no one, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Let's go from here, knowing that we are well loved by our good shepherd, rejoicing in him and sharing the good news of our wonderful shepherd with others, that they may know him too. Amen.